heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Well, I think we all know or have met someone like this. Someone who is known for throwing really good parties and puts a lot of effort into them and will run themselves ragged getting things ready. I mean, just making sure that the house is clean and that the dishes are all done, that the food is prepared and that it's all perfect and that the napkins are folded just so and everything looks fantastic. But then the day and the time of the party arrives and do they show up to their own party? No, they don't. They're still kind of running around. They're driving themselves crazy and just not showing up. And they're not being present. They're not really enjoying the celebration that they're setting forth in front of everyone. Have you ever met someone like that? Well, some of you might be wondering, oh, is he talking about me right now? And I want to put your mind at ease and tell you straight out, no, I'm not talking about you. I'm actually talking about me. Now, I don't host many social events, and I know that no one could ever accuse me of being the world's most conscientious housekeeper, but there are a lot of ways that I actually don't show up for my own life. Sometimes as a parent or as a partner, I might get caught up in the many necessary tasks involved in those callings. So, you know, I've got to put food on the table, I've got to put a roof over the heads and clothes on the back, and all of that's really good and really important. We don't want to live without that, right? But there's sometimes I can get so caught up in those tasks that when my kids come to me and say, "Hey, Dad, will you come play with me?" And I say, "Not now, I've got work I have to do, leave me alone." Or I might say, "Sorry, I can't make it home for dinner, I have another evening meeting this week." Or I might say, "You know, your mom has to put you to bed, I got to finish this sermon." And putting food on the table is necessary, but not if it means I'm not showing up for my kid's life. And sometimes, as a parent, I do that. In the same way as in my job as a pastor, I'm going to tell on myself a little today. You know, part of the job of a pastor is to keep things running at the church. I go to meetings, I take care of administrative stuff, both here and at the presbytery, prepare the sermons, get ready for worship, and visit the sick, do education stuff. It's all good and important. But there are some days when I'm sitting in a meeting and I'm already thinking about the next meeting I have to go to. When I'm holding the hand of someone in a hospital and praying and thinking about some other problem that's going on at church. There are times when I'm so busy getting ready for togetherness group on Thursday, I'm going to tell myself again, this past Thursday was one of those days where I come bolting in at the last minute saying, "All right, here's the snacks, here's the prizes for bingo, I'll be right back, I got to get money for the drivers," and by the time I sit down, group is half over and I haven't said hi to anybody. And all of those things are important and good. But if I'm doing them without really showing up for the people who I'm called to be a pastor for, then I'm not being a good pastor. In the same way, with my kids and my spouse, I'm not being a good husband or father. So I'm talking about myself today. But if you should just so happen to relate to any of that, then I would cordially invite you to join me and sit down together at the feet of Jesus. so that we can perhaps learn a little something about who it is that God calls us to be and how it is that God calls us to be in the world. Looking at our readings today, one of the major themes that emerges is that of hospitality. We can see it first and foremost in the reading that we have from Genesis, where the patriarch Abraham welcomes these three strangers to his tent. And he rolls out the red carpet for them. He gives them this extravagant, exuberant welcome. And at the time, in that culture of the ancient world, that was something that was really necessary. It wasn't just being polite. It wasn't just being nice or trying to emulate Martha Stewart. In the ancient world, that was a matter of survival. Because if you think about it, they had no unified social infrastructure to provide for safety on the road. So, when strangers were traveling, they were at the mercy of the people in whatever town they came to. They're vulnerable. And if they should fall into the hands of some unscrupulous brigands, then there would probably be no justice for them and no opportunity for them to be safe. So there was an honor system of hospitality that those who were residents in an area, when a stranger came, you welcomed them, you honored them, you gave them sustenance, you gave them safety, because there's a chance that no one else would. There was no AAA, there was no police force, there was no highway patrol, nothing to keep people safe when they traveled. So they depended on hospitality. And then the second vignette of hospitality that we get today is when Jesus shows up to the house of his friends Martha and Mary. And he's not mentioned here, but they actually have a brother named Lazarus, who Jesus very famously raised from the dead in John's gospel. But Jesus shows up to this house, and again, we see the hospitality being extended to him from Martha in particular. But as we saw in the reading, Jesus was somewhat critical of Martha, even as she was critical of others. Martha says to Jesus, as we read, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." And the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." So what was it that led Jesus to be critical of Martha in ways that the angel was not critical of Abraham in his extension of hospitality? And by the way, I don't think I mentioned those three strangers that came to visit Abraham. We'll read from that next week too. The surprise ending there is that they're angels. So what was it, though, about Martha that led Jesus to be critical? Because she's doing all the right things. She's extending hospitality. She's making sure that her guests are cared for. And yet Jesus seems to offer this word that's critical. And I think it has something to do with what I mentioned at the beginning. How sometimes we can get so caught up in doing stuff for others that we forget to show up to our own party. We forget to show up to our own lives. And I think Jesus saw that in Martha. And also saw Mary, her sister, who didn't seem to be doing all the big important things, but simply wanted to sit at his feet. And in that moment, Jesus says, "Martha, come join us. This is my hope for you. Come sit. Come talk. Let's be together. That is the purpose of my visit." And just as it was with these sisters, I think it is with us too. When Jesus comes knocking on the door of our hearts, he asks nothing of us. We don't have to have our lives in order. Our internal house doesn't have to look perfect. We've got issues that we're wrestling with. We've got sin that we're struggling with. At least I know that I still do. But Jesus shows up, he knocks, and all he says is, "I want to be with you. Full stop. That's it. Let's sit down together." That's the good news for us this morning. And this good news calls for a response from us, because we, as we receive Jesus into our lives, we end up also receiving the hospitality of God. The guest becomes a host in us. And as God, in God's grace, welcomes us without requirement and receives us wholeheartedly without our house being all in order, So we are called to extend that same hospitality, that same grace to others. We're here to pass it on. And I think where that begins for us in our lives is with ourselves. That we are asked to extend hospitality to ourselves. Now, in order to do that, we have to understand what hospitality is. As we mentioned, it's grace. I would like to define it as making space for people to be people. And beginning with ourselves, have you made space in your life to be human? Have you left yourself the space in your music, in your writing or your reading, in your prayer and meditation? Have you made space for you to be you in whatever it is that is feeding you and giving you life? And out of that making space for yourself, we can then have the capacity to make space for the others around us, to welcome people and not just do stuff for them, but be here with them, with each other. We extend the hospitality that God has given us, that we allow ourselves to have, and then can pass on to others. We pass it on. And so we can welcome them, be together. And I think that what we'll find is, first of all, that is what people are looking for from us. Not the stuff we do for them, but who we are with them. And, more importantly, I think that we will begin to see God present in the situation, that we will see God in the people who we do our ministry with, who we welcome. And hopefully, I pray, they will begin to see God in us. So I wonder, how is it that you are making space in your life today? How are you making space for yourself to be you, to be a human? And how is it that you are making space for the others then around you? Because it's not about the stuff that you do for them. It's about who you are with them. And all of that is an echo of the kind of relationship that God wants to have with each and every one of us. To welcome us with our flaws, with all of our messes, with the laundry on the line and the dishes in the sink, just saying, hey, come, sit down, be here with me now. God calls to us and the people around us and in so many other ways. And so I invite you today and every day to make the space and hold that space to be with each other. And in so doing, may you see the grace and the hospitality of God extended to all, and last but not least, to yourself. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for all of the ways that you welcome us in Jesus Christ. We give you thanks that you made space for us in this universe when you created us. We give you thanks that you made space for us in your kingdom when you redeemed us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God, we confess that too often we neglect to make space for ourselves, to be human, to nurture the spirit that you've given us. And as a result, we also neglect to make space for the others around us who you have called into our lives. Not to do stuff for them or for them to do stuff for us, but just to be together as your family in Christ. God, help us to make space for ourselves and one another so that we might make space for you and return the hospitality that you have extended to us in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Remember always, I love you and God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. Be blessed and be a blessing. Let's stand together and sing 824, Near to the Heart of God.